The return of Luther. The happier the marriage, the easier it is to weaponize it. We have all this and more next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome to AfterBuzz TV after show of season 5, episodes 1 and 2 of Luther.
Hey, hey, hey.
What's happening? I am your host, Joshua Wright, and here I have Miss Erica Edwards.
What's up, party people?
Yes, we are glad to be back. We're so happy that Idris Elba has decided to come back on and do another season of Luther. We have so many things going on. We have the return of his first nemesis. We also have George, who as the gentleman who was tied to the radiator last season, he has returned. There's so many things that we're going to discuss today, but I would like to start by your overall thoughts, Miss Erica. What do you think of the first two episodes so far?
I really enjoyed them. I think they're getting right back into the, I think somewhere Idris said it's not rocket science. They're not reinventing the wheel. They're getting into the gritty Luther formula that we love, and it's good to go.
Yeah, it is good. I like to see Idris Elba. It seems like from season 1 to season 5, he is definitely cleaned up. He was more in a psychological trance, I guess I would say, when the series started, and now he seems to be more comfortable with himself, interacting with different people, and interacting with his favorite nemesis, Alice.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think he seems to be more at peace with who he is and just, you know, because he's always kind of working across the lines, yes, you know, in a shade of gray. And he seems to be very comfortable there these days.
Yes, he is. Well, we're going to work backwards just a little bit. We are going to discuss episode 1, but I do want to focus on the quote that he made in the second episode. So he was discussing Dr. Vivian Lake. And he told the new DS, Miss Catherine Halliday, that the happier the marriage, the easier it is to weaponize it. Well, when we look back at what was going on, we noticed that a gentleman by the name of James Hauser was committing all of these crimes against people. He's cutting the tongues. He's cutting out the eyeballs.
And in the words of Vivian, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yes.
Allegedly. So, which actually turned out to be true. To a point, because it was not James who was doing all these murders. It was someone else.
Exactly.
So what did you feel when you saw the gentleman in the beginning, the young lady's walking down the street, and she sees a group of, you know, assumed thugs, and the gentleman, Lee, is following her? What did you think about that scene? It seemed to be ominous. Did you have any thoughts on that one?
I mean, I felt bad for Lee, but, you know, I mean, if you're used to creeping and stalking people, then yeah, they're not going to let you in their home.
Of course not.
Even if you are being hunted by a killer. So it kind of felt like, yeah, bad place at bad time, but you're also a stalker. So that's how you got there.
Yeah, he had a menacing disposition. And she even though she was familiar with him, he didn't make himself known. It was as if he was trying to accost her. So she did what she had to do, which led to his ultimate demise. Because he was not able to be let in or to be secured properly, he ended up witnessing something that he should not have seen. And it frightened him. It frightened him.
Right.
So moving from that, now we know that.
Although I will say this about that situation, too. I was kind of like, OK, you have a phone. You could go for help. She already, you know, like you scared her to death. So why would you, you know, to me, he wasted a lot of crucial time knocking on her door. When I was like, dude, she's not messing with you. You need to get your run on.
That's
so
true.
I was kind of like, all right, Lee, you know, but.
So did he bring him on himself?
No, I felt very bad for, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I felt very bad that he got, you know, his tongue and eyes cut out and stuff. That was a little extra. And I did feel bad for him. But it was just kind of like when you watch, you know, horror movies and the black person dies first or the woman where she's running in heels from the monster. It was kind of that vibe. Like, dude, don't stop knocking on her house if she don't like you like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's all I'm saying.
He did drop his phone, too, because he was so
frightened. Right. Exactly. Yeah. You need to be focused. You could have been calling the police or something at least. But, you know.
Yeah. And then they found him
in
the park. So we don't know, you know, where he was found. He was found in the park. So, so now we move on. So now Luther is called to the scene and we are introduced to the new DS, the replacement to Justin, Miss Catherine Halliday. Yeah. What were your thoughts on Catherine when you first saw her?
Interesting. I really like her. I think she's, you know, I think every time, you know, he gets a new GS, it's an interesting situation or interesting way they try to get them to gel. I love that she's African-American, mm-hmm. although she doesn't seem very ethnic in the way she's carrying her role so far, but still very cute. And she does seem very smart, very bright, if not a little nervous or whatever mm-hmm. around him and kind of, you know, new. And so we'll see how she works out.
Well, she gels. Well, she is one who, well, when she comes in, everyone already has a resume of who DCI Luther is.
Right.
So to a point, you have to walk on eggshells because you know that he's a person where he's impulsive. He asks you to do things. He doesn't tell you why. And then you just have to trust his judgment. So I do understand her apprehension in the beginning, trying to get to know who he is. And when she's trying to communicate with him, she talks to Gov and she's like, he's not answering his phone. Like, what's going on? And Gov is like, let's just go see him at the house. If you're at a nine, let's go see him at the house.
Yeah.
So he's investigating this murder. And in the middle of his investigation, he is approached and kidnapped by these thugs, these goons. And when he is kidnapped, he's confused, and then when he gets there, he finds out that it's George Cornelius, the gentleman who he attached to the radiator last season.
Right.
And George is just trying to find his son. And how did you feel when Luther was letting him know, I didn't know where his son was? How did you feel about George's insistence on trying to find his son and blaming it on Luther?
I mean, I think it's reasonable. I think, as Cornelius indicated, given their history, so, you know, it's clear that he kind of... I don't know. I mean, I guess it's kind of like if you are a robber or a gangster or whatever, then you make certain assumptions that mm-hmm. people act like you do. That's what everyone does. So he kind of made that assumption because he knows that Luther will cross lines like mm-hmm. that. And so, you know, that part was actually, I mean, it was a cool little scene, a cool sort of, I guess, beginning of the beast storyline or whatever. And it was interesting because I felt like he sort of, again, these scenes are interesting because, you know, he kind of underestimated Luther or whatever. Because it's like, oh, okay. You know, the fact that he could, you know, kind of flip the tables on him. It's like, oh, right. Well, you know.
But he's been in those situations before. So he knows that he should know that Luther is not
right. That's what I'm saying. I was like, yeah, you need to train them Spice Girls a little better.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Like, they ain't sorry. They are sorry.
Yeah, he's like, keep your Spice Girls away from
exactly,
me.
Exactly. So
well, now moving into that, we see that that George actually now believes Luther, and he understands that Luther is not involved in the kidnapping of his son. So the kidnapping of his son is a mystery to us because we're unaware that his son was kidnapped. When season four ended, we had no idea that anything had happened to George's son. We know that we know that there was an argument. We know that I believe when Luther came by or someone came by the house, George's son was punched or something like that. I think I remember. But we had no idea that his whereabouts were compromised. So it was good to actually see that dynamic, that an old rival came back into the fold.
Right.
Now, I do want to move on into the James Hauser situation. So now we're starting to see the history of the Dr. Lake was talking about the sexual desires that he has. I forgot what she called them, but he, you know, self-mutilation to a point, you know, antagonizing women, antagonizing men, mutilating them, using different types of tools to, you know, do things that they shouldn't be doing.
Right.
So what was your thought on the James Hauser dialogue from Vivian Lake to Luther?
I don't know. I found it was interesting because I did feel from the beginning that, like, I know she has a duty or whatever, but it's like, you know, it's all on her word. Mm-hmm. And it's something, you know, like, I don't know. She just seemed like a very creepy therapist. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to tell her my problem. She seemed odd anyway from the beginning. And so so there was something that wasn't quite right. I felt like she tried to make it seem as if she, you know, she was sort of worried and she gave these pointers, you know, she gave his history and stuff. But then, oh, I'm not going to help you. You know, it just didn't seem... I had a funny feeling about her from the beginning is basically what I would say. And as far as his trauma, it was interesting because I think it was due to some abuse and, mm-hmm. you know, it's something he had, you know, had to deal with since he was a child. So that aspect of it was, really interesting. But then it just seemed so on the nose, like when she gave them that drawing and it basically matches the body of the victim that they found.
Right.
It's just like, it's just too easy
it
sometimes.
Was a setup.
So yeah, it was kind of like, huh, okay, you might need to verify more than just what she had to say before you go busted in his house and stuff. So
of course, that was
an interesting idea that your doctor could just come there and be like, well, this, this, and this. And then, you know.
Well, no one checked her background.
Right, exactly. And then the SWAT team, they just ram it in his house. Yeah. And I was like, really? You know, you're not going to check with nobody else? None of his fans? You know, nothing? Yeah. So that was kind of interesting, actually.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. She was self-righteous. And they took her as a, you know, end-all, be-all. Because she's a psychiatrist.
Right.
That's understandable to a point. But you were right. She did have a... It was a very negative vibe, and she was very sinister and cryptic in the way she carried herself. It was almost agitating to the point of where I would have to research and see who she was.
Exactly.
Now, before we move on to episode two, I would like to let Miss Erica talk to the audience for a little bit.
All right, you guys. Well, before we head on to the next episode and topic, I just want to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV talk. And for us to continue to grow, we need your help. So if you're watching us right now, give us a thumbs up. If you're listening to us on iTunes or SoundCloud, then give us 5 stars. Like, subscribe, comment. And no matter where you are, leave these comments after the show airs, because the live comments don't stay longer than, I think, 24 hours. And thank you so much for being a part of AfterBuzz and giving us an opportunity to do something we really love. So continue to like, subscribe, and join us every week.
That's wonderful. Yes. Thank you so much to everyone out there. Now, I do want to bring up one final point before we go to the second episode. So James Hauser kills himself.
Yes.
Now, you know, Miss Halliday and Luther are following the criminal into the tunnels and into the park and all these things. And it turns out that he just comes out and he slit his own throat. Now, I will say this. When I saw that take place, I said, that is questionable. And I'm saying that off of experience of just reading and seeing other shows. Very seldom do people in these situations kill themselves outright. A lot of times, sociopaths, not a lot, but in my experience, sociopaths go out with a fight. They want to argue. They want to prove their point. They want to manipulate a jury, a judge, someone in order to prove the point, because that is part of what makes them who they are. They are artists of manipulation. So when I did see that he came out and he slit his own throat, I questioned that. And it was weird to me that Luther, with all of his experience, didn't question it. He said, oh, he slit his own throat. And then they rushed him to the hospital and, oh, this is James. That's more to your point about how no one did any research. So what were your thoughts when he came out and you saw that his throat had already been slit?
Well, a couple things. Like, at first I was like, because they showed his face, and then, you know what I mean? And we had just kind of only seen photos. So then at first I was like, is that really James? Is this some sort of, like, did they do some sort of switch or something? Like, I just did not, I agree with you. Like, it seemed just, you know, it just didn't seem right. I'll put it like that. One, kind of like you were saying before, like, if you're murdering people, like, on the bus, and you're doing all these, and you're laying people out and stuff, then to some extent you want to get some sort of notoriety. And so to, like, just slit your throat and, like, you know, no one really knows who you are seems to kind of defeat the purpose of kind of all these outrageous and just, you know, vamping up or whatever, getting larger crime. So that part seemed odd. And then it was something about the way it happened that didn't seem quite right. Like, it was just too quick to something that didn't quite seem like it was right either. So yeah, I definitely felt like there were some questionable things about the whole suicide. Because I was like, was there something in his coat that they made that had a way to kill? Like, I did not really think he took his own life.
No.
And certainly not that quickly and whatever. So
And then also to saw your throat is very difficult. Like, you have a lot of nerves and things up here, like a lot of vital organs. I think the most vital organs in the body rely in the neck, something like that. So I don't know how you could actually slit your throat successfully without having some apprehension about it. Like, like psychologists have studied and said that people who commit suicide, they try their wrists and they realize that it's too hard because you have to cut down to the artery. So that's why they decide to hang themselves, or, you know, I hate to be so morbid, people, but I'm also educating us. And they hate to hang, they have to hang themselves because when you're cutting your wrist, you have to go so far down.
Right.
So,
right. And then obviously you have to cut lengthwise as opposed to horizontal, like most people do, but not that I know these things. Yeah. I'm just saying.
We're just well read. Yes. It's relevant to this episode. So
exactly. So I think that the idea, you know, that we find out later that there was no hesitation, there was, you know, something. I still feel like it's weird. I still feel like they staged that anyway, to be honest with you. Like, I'm like, I still have my own thoughts. But it just was too clean. And then obviously we all know, as TV watchers, it's the first episode, so clearly that couldn't be right. So there's that. But yes.
Well, moving on into episode two. So we see Catherine Halliday, and she seems to have asserted herself very quickly with this case. She started off as the new person. Hey, I'm DC Halliday, and I'll be doing these things. And Luther never gets emotionally attached. He was only attached to Justin. And that's because Justin and him were best friends.
Right.
So when she came on, he's just like, yo, what's up? The last girl, you know, she screwed me over. So, hey, whatever you do, what's good? Let's get on this case. But she seems to notice and takes notice that things don't seem right with the way the case has evolved. She's talking to the young lady in the morgue, and she's discussing how he could have killed himself. You know, how long it was, how short it was, the method he could have used, what instruments he could have used. And she says, something isn't right here. Like, this just doesn't seem right. And so Gov decided it is time to go and see Luther about it and see what we can come up with. Now, we don't hear what happens because we have a special guest return to the house. So how did you feel about Alice's return?
It was great. Although, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's so sad in this day of, like, social media or whatever, because I knew she was coming back. So I was like, oh, okay. So I wasn't like, oh my God, she's not dead. It wasn't like a total shocker. But I'm glad, because I always felt the episodes where she was in were more fun. Mm-hmm. And they added a little bit, you know, more of a kind of, she was always like his, you know, if he really got into the grimy, she would pull him out before he got murdered or whatever. So she was always a nice little savior. So, but he also knows how dark she is. So I think she adds an interesting dynamic to the show. So I definitely am glad she's back, because I think she was missed.
Why do you think Luther has been so apprehensive in getting involved with her? Like, if you've seen throughout the seasons, there is some chemistry there with them. So what has been his apprehension? Like, why hasn't he just decided to be with Alice?
Well, I mean, I think this season it's more because, you know, he really thought she was dead, and she, you know, basically, clearly, obviously wasn't. And I think this time it's more sort of like some sort of betrayal to him, because he was willing to give up everything, really, for her at a point. And so I think of it more like that. I think in the past it was the typical, you know, you're a criminal, I'm a cop type situation before. But I think there was a point where he was willing to, willing to give it. I think he had a moment, and now he's just like, okay, this is too much, and this brings too much darkness to my life.
Okay. All right. Well, Alice returns.
Well, why do you think?
I think that I'm on the lines where he was a cop, she was a criminal. But I think that he wanted to protect himself because he had been betrayed by his wife.
Right.
So I feel like there was a part of him where he did like Alice. I mean, there were moments where I could see the chemistry between Luther and Alice. And he was saying to himself, I can't get involved with this. She is a criminal, but I also have been scorched before, and I can't go through that again.
Right.
So, excuse me, that's my take on it. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We did see that they did, you know, get a little fun, you know, towards the end of the middle of second episode. So we'll see what happens with that. But I do want to go back to the research of Hauser. So now I wrote down something here about Dr. Lake. Dr. Lake is a questionable character to me, because she harnesses this job that is a spectacular duty to mankind. It is her job to focus on what people need help with, find solutions for people, or suggest solutions to people, send them wherever they may go. But it seems she has taken this power and she's turned it into negative. And I don't like that. And so I want to know, how do you feel about the dynamic between, with Luther's thought, the happier the marriage, the easier it is to weaponize. How do you feel about the dynamic between Dr. Lake and her husband, Dr. Lake?
I like their dynamic, to be honest. I think it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, I think, yeah, I think they have a an interesting partnership. Because at first I thought, really what I thought too from the first episode was when she was like, you know, rinsing him off and stuff. I thought it, at first I was like, it's the reverse. Like maybe she got this person to kill her husband or something that she was in love with, this patient. And then when I was like, oh, wait, that's her husband. Mm-hmm. And so then I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I actually think they have an interesting dynamic and an interesting idea that, you know, and I think, you know, I've seen other films or movies about like two kind of psychopathic killers that mm-hmm. kind of drive each other on or whatever. And it's interesting to see that if you learn. It's an interesting take, I think, on the idea that your husband is a serial killer or this vicious killer, and you are a true wife and you support him in that. So
do you think she's just as guilty as he is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because she is orchestrating the killings and forcing him out to actually take control of them.
Well, a couple things. One is she's not forcing him. And then I don't think.
You don't think so?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I think she's forcing him to be careful because, you know, she doesn't want to go to prison. But I don't think she's forcing him at all. I think, if anything, this is sort of almost akin to an addiction or whatever. You know, like they talk about the urges that he has. Mm-hmm. So I think as, you know, as other killers or molesters or whatever, sometimes they have these like urges that they can't control. And I think he would do it anyway. I think she finds a way, just like, honestly, like the show Dexter, his family found a way. Okay, if you kill serial killers, you'll be all right. And so she has found a way to work with her husband and controlling his urges. I think she's probably, when she was asking him how he's feeling and stuff, I think since she knows this is a psychological disorder, she's probably given him some sort of drugs or whatever to kind of halfway keep it down. And then we kind of decide together when you're going to kill somebody.
Well, she did address that she didn't want him to start suffering from impulse control.
Right, exactly.
Because she couldn't locate him. She was, you know, where were you? Where have you been? And she's noticing that he's being very dismissive towards her. So that's a part, that's a marker for her. Being a doctor, that's a marker for her to say, hey, something's wrong with him.
Right.
So, well, then let me ask you this then. Do you think that her husband is the one who had the abusive childhood, but she's placing that background on someone else?
I'm not sure. Like, I think I need to see more. I mean, I think probably I would presume that she and her husband both had something in their childhoods that, you know, kind of turned them into the people that they are, and they happen to find each other. But then her patient, James, probably did have some genuine problems. Okay. And she was like, it took me a long time to find him and groom him. So it's not clear if those were things that she implanted into James, or he was probably already somewhat of a broken person and she molded him in a certain way for their benefit. But I'm not clear. Yeah, like I think I need to see another episode to get more into that. But I do feel like, you know, clearly, you know, maybe her husband grew up wealthy, but, you know, then they have the wealthy people that were still abused. I mean, I think obviously, I think they both probably had something traumatic happen in their childhoods, but they still probably came from, you know, successful people.
Well, Jeremy does carry himself in a pretentious way. You know, he tried to psychoanalyze Luther. He tried to psychoanalyze Catherine. And when he's in the room, but I noticed that Luther said, why is he looking at an MRI if he's a cardiac surgeon?
Right.
Because there's no need for him to be looking at that. That's not, he's not a brain surgeon. He's a heart surgeon. So now Luther is on the prowl trying to figure out what his motive is and being so dismissive to them. And then he was judgmental. They came in, they asked simple questions, and he's like, well, I'm not going to give you what you're looking for. And Luther's like, well, what are we looking for? So that tells Luther he's guilty of something, because he's giving us answers to questions that we're not even asking. So that lets me know, I need to research him. I need to investigate him. Now, in the middle of that investigation, we have Alice, who has... Alice, now I'm just going to tell you, I like Alice. In the beginning, when the series first started and I started watching it, I did not like Alice because she killed her parents and she killed a dog. I'm like, bruh, come on, you can't go out like that. But when she began to manipulate Luther and he was falling for, it was almost like he knew he was falling for her manipulation, but he couldn't stop himself from doing it.
Right.
I like that about her. And she doesn't assert herself in a way where it's disrespectful. She just lets him know, like, hey, man, I'm smart just like you're smart. But there are things that I can get away with that you can't find about me. But at the same time, she uses those things to protect him in the future. So with saying that, I like that Alice is involved with the kidnapping of George's son. For whatever reason, I believe the diamonds, what happens with the diamonds is the root of everything. Excuse me. But it's just strange that now Alice is back and she's trying to see how she can use Luther to manipulate and see how she can figure out how to get through to George.
Right.
So what do you think about the dynamic between Alice, Luther, and George?
I think it's interesting. I mean, again, Alice is a totally always fun character. I was also on the panel this season for Killing Eve. So very much the same sort of sociopathic killer who finds a soft spot for the person who's after them and, you know, like kind of falls in love, but is still underneath, has no problems killing if they need to and getting what they want. And so it's interesting that because Cornelius gave her, you know, the switch and gave her these glass diamonds that weren't worth anything, that now she's coming back and she's willing to kind of use Luther, you know. So it's kind of like disappointing because it's like she didn't come back for love. She came back for money, but that she is who she is.
Did she come back for, I mean, was love a motivating factor in her coming back, though? We know that she likes Luther because in the last season, she questioned him like, Luther, what's good, bro? Like, we've been in close quarters together plenty times. I've given you the eye. I've puckered my top lip. And you're still not moving. Like, what's up? So she feels pain because Luther doesn't return the love that she has for him. So is love a motivating factor in her coming back?
I don't think so. I mean, I think she does have, you know, like she loves him. I mean, I'm not saying that, but I think she came back because she wanted those diamonds or that money. And so I think she was like, oh, no, George Cornelius is not going to get away with this. And if she can actually get with Luther in the process, then, you know, it's all good.
Okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to see what you were thinking about that.
I mean, because I think that scene where I think they were doing the flashback to when he had that house on the coast, mm-hmm. and they're like sleeping together. So they definitely shared a moment.
Right.
But I think that the time where she basically faked her own death, left, and if she hadn't realized, you know, if she had gotten that money in Belgium, she would have kept going. So to that extent, I don't necessarily think Luther brought her back, but the fact that she needs money and she wants to live a certain way, I think that brought her back more than Luther.
Okay, that's a fair point. But I do remember before she left, she spoke on how she would always be around to help him.
Right.
And so, like, don't count me out. So now we're moving, you know, back into the George situation. Luther decides to take matters into his own hands and he returns George's son. What did you think when Luther did that, betrayed Alice to return George's son?
You know, I didn't really take it really as betrayal because he kind of was like, nah, this ain't gonna work. We're gonna have to come up with something. And kind of the same way she always gets him out of a bind, it was his way of getting her out of a bind. So I don't think she viewed it as betrayal, you know, but she wanted to actually, you know, take on Cornelius and would be a different way for them to actually be free, as opposed to, you know, if he brings back the son, then basically she's going to have to live her life on the run. And so, I mean, I think in that aspect, it was sort of like his way of saying, okay, you know, really, like, we're done. So I think that's more of a betrayal or of a hurt or whatever than, like, I don't think she really cares if he takes the son back or not, really.
Okay, so do you think that, well, with that being said, do you think George is going to retaliate to Luther or Alice for the son's kidnapping? Even though Luther brought him back, do you think George is going to retaliate?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, because he says, okay, you know, okay, this is not good. You know, I don't need the money from your house. I need Alice. And so, yeah, I mean, you know.
So if he doesn't give up Alice, then that means Luther is going to be in a predicament.
Yes.
Okay, so should Luther protect Alice or not?
He should do what he is known for and his magic and find a way to halfway make, you know, Cornelius think that he's doing it. I mean, he's not going to betray Alice, I don't think. I think his whole way of working is sort of to find an answer that works with everybody. So okay. I think that's probably what he's going to do. Like, he's not going to just turn her over, like, obviously. So, or not obviously, but I think he loves her and all that. So I don't think he's just going to turn her over. But especially now that he, you know, now that one of his, you know, his good coworker has been kidnapped and is, like, going to be murdered.
Right.
He's definitely not going to leave him there either. So he's definitely going to, you know, come up with a Luther plan.
Yeah, he has to. Like, there has to be something that he's going to do to save Benny, you know, so.
Right.
So we'll see. You know, we can't, that's our predictions. We can't get into that right now. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, these two episodes were wonderful. We really appreciate Luther coming back on the air. I love it. I think it was very great. So now we're going to move into what we call our top three moments. So I want you to think of your number one moment from these two episodes. One of my moments was the return of Alice. It really was. Alice has a way of bringing a lot of tension and negativity into the life of Luther.
Right.
But she also has a way of thwarting any type of negativity that comes his way. It's the strangest thing.
Yeah.
It's almost like situations I remember in college, girls, you know, I went to Georgia Southern University, the wonderful Georgia Southern University in Statesboro, Georgia, and it's about 3.5 hours south of Atlanta. So girls would come to college and they would meet a new boo, you know, oh, I'm in college, I got a college boo. But their homeboy back home in Atlanta was like, yo, feeling some type of way about it. But it was almost like the boyfriend that they had in Atlanta was able to keep all the negativity around them away from them, but also bring negativity into their lives.
Right.
It was the strangest thing. That's how I look at Alice and Luther.
Right.
Like, she can keep everybody negative away, but she brings him her own negativity. It's almost like she's self-centered. Like, she wants Luther to focus on her negativity. Don't worry about nobody else. I'll take care of everybody else if you take care of me.
Very true.
So that would be my top moment from these two episodes. What about you?
I agree. I mean, I think Alice coming back is the top. I'm trying to think of anything else that really kind of hits it. Because it's nice to kind of be back home with the characters that you kind of started off with. Mm-hmm. So I think seeing Alice at his door, I liked the, you know, the way he kind of flipped the script on Cornelius. Mm-hmm. You know, and the little joke about the Spice Girls, that was funny.
I like that Alice brought up Justin, because they were talking about something with Luther was saying, you know, everyone who's died around me, I feel like they would not have died had I been there. And she, the claim she made, if I can remember, was, don't you think your optimism of being omnipresent is a bit narcissistic? It was something
that. Yeah, exactly.
And he said yes, and she said, well, how do you think that would have helped Justin, or, you know, something like that. So to make a reference in that moment about his best friend who's now gone, Luther bears a lot of accountability for those things. So I think one of my other top moments is the fact that Luther is still self-analyzing, but he has grown enough to know that he can move and help people who need to be helped.
Yeah, I think as far as, like, I guess top quotes or whatever, I liked when he was like, when he asked her, you know, well, why did you have to, you know, fake your death or pretend you were dead or whatever? And she was like, that's how all your best relationships end up, with the person being dead. Woo!
I'm telling you.
Read them, Alice.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So that, I think that was my also another quote I really liked.
I think that love brought her back. I think a little bit of love was in there when she came back. So
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. So but now I want to move into our predictions.
Okay. Oh, wait, let's do news first. Okay. If that's okay. All right. So I have a couple of quick things. Like, one, in case you all didn't know, Idris Elba got married, like, back in April. And he and his new bride actually went on safari to Tanzania for their honeymoon. So at this, like, amazing resort and hotel that's, like, one of, you know, the best in the world, of course. And it's very eco-friendly and friendly to animals, although it's still a safari. So that is cool. And for those of you in Britain, the July episode of Vogue, for the British Vogue, the bridal episode will show Idris and his new bride on the cover. Mm. So he's doing the cover of Vogue. And so, like, after we watched the first episode, there was a... basically like a sort of copycat hoax where this woman was on a bus in London and the guy kind of sat next to her and started asking her all these really private questions like, where do you live? What's your last name? All this information and everything. And then when he turned to face her, he was wearing a white mask like the man from the Luther episode. So, yeah, you know, but she's still alive and lived to tell about it. So it didn't quite end the same, but very creepy.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yes, that is our news and
these
gossip.
People are so crazy.
They are, but that was a great scene. And the way they filmed it with him crawling on the floor, that was the best. So.
It was the best. It was, I'm telling you, people will do certain things. I've learned in my day, people do things just for attention. That's it. They don't care about anything else. They want 30 seconds of fame. They do their thing. I can't name all the people who were famous for 10 seconds off of Vine and Twitter and all these things years ago. And now right. You don't even know. I don't even remember their names. But
exactly.
they made millions of dollars in 9 months and now they're good.
Exactly.
Know? So, but anyway, I want to go to our predictions.
Yes.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
What you got, Erica?
Okay. So, again, I think that Luther is not going to exactly turn over Alice, but I think obviously now that she's killed George's son, things are going to escalate. So it's going to be like full blown war. I think. Yeah, I'm really sorry for the girl that they put in the suitcase. I think the Dr. Vivian is actually probably going to be a worse and more sadistic killer than her husband.
Yeah, I think Vivian is going to... Anytime you're calling the shots, that tells me that your danger level is more than the proxy you're using to go out and commit these crimes.
Yeah, and now that she has the girl in the room with her little stuff and the previews. So, yeah, that girl, I feel so sorry for her. Because I'd rather just, you know, be going down in one bullet or something. So she might
quick.
Be. But hopefully Idris, you know, maybe Idris will save her by the end of the episode. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. Well, that's it for us here tonight at AfterBuzz TV. We are so glad to be back. Where can they find you, Miss Erica?
All right, you guys. You can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards.
And I am Joshua Wright. You can find me all things social media, Cleverly Clad. We will see you all next week.
All right. Ciao for now, folks.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.